for we are in the book of Galatians. Paul has just excoriated Peter, dealt with it face to face, man to man, mano a mano. And when then we pick up in verse 15, the word "we" is going to include Peter, because yes, that's who's right there. We, who are Jews by nature, born into it, physical circumcision, natural Hebrew people, and not sinners of the Gentiles. It's as if Paul has to remind Peter of what Peter learned in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, what Peter himself explained in Acts chapter 11. We were this, we're not that, verse 15, knowing. We know some things Peter didn't know in Acts 2, what he finds out in Acts 10. Knowing, Paul preached in Acts 13 information that was a stunner that this verse alludes to. Knowing, I'm so grateful to be knowledgeable because of God's Word.
Amen.
Isn't it great when you read Romans chapter 5 and he uses three times the word "we know" and "knowing"? Yeah. Then I know.
Yeah.
I can be knowledgeable, not because I went to the right school, but because I've got the right book and I believe it.
Amen.
Paul, in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Burned down every Seventh-day Adventist church on the planet then. Not justified by the works of the law. Now the seventh day, they'll fib to their people and say, well, he's only talking about the ceremonial law. But the one day themselves will hang their own people out on is a ceremonial law of the Sabbath. So
yeah,
it's just kind of Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Martin Luther wrote two commentaries, Romans and Galatians. Romans, man is not justified by the works of the law. Galatians, man is not justified by the works of the law. And so that was the bedrock foundation of the Protestant Reformation, and it was finding Pauline truth. But by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No flesh justified. That is something that is interesting, because there was a time when flesh had righteous standing before Jehovah God because of the works of the law.
Right.
They did that which was contained in the 613 points of law, and salvation, John chapter 4 verse 22, was of the Jews. The Jews had every advantage. They had the oracles of God. Romans chapter 3, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much. Every way. So Israel had the preeminent position, and it had the oracles of God, and it had the covenant, and it had the covenant of the law program delivered to it, and righteous standing was afforded them by performance.
Yes.
Here comes Paul saying, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, in then our usual dispensational chart, don't we have a problem? We've got all these people that are operating under the commandments and have been since Exodus chapter 19. If no flesh is justified by the works of the law, what about these guys? Well, they were looking forward to the cross, is the usual answer. The better answer is Romans chapter 3, verse 25, when the Apostle Paul explains that Christ's blood is a propitiation for the sins that are past.
Yes.
See, they had the blood of bulls and goats. Christ has better blood. They had the altar. Christ went to a better altar. They had a tabernacle. Christ went to a tabernacle made without hands. So Romans 3:25 deals with all these people back here. When you understand that, that should be one more nail in the coffin of Arminianism. Because Arminianism reads Romans 3:25 to say, your sins are forgiven up to the point of your salvation. That's the sins that are past. And now you have to live sinless from now on or keep them confessed. See what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
So they're misreading of Romans chapter 3, verse 25, applying it now. Paul wrote it, it must be for now. They're misreading of Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and misapplication of that feeds the fuels of second blessing holiness, and I don't sin anymore because Christ only died for the sins that are past, and so the sins in the future I have to keep confessed, or I have to not do them. See the system? Okay. So, not justified by the works of the law. Every October, when the Worldwide Church of God would have its meeting at Hera Arena, and I had my Christian bookstore not far from Hera Arena, the Worldwide Church of Godders had little decals that went on the front and back bumpers. And if you were a regular attendee, you had one color. And if you were higher up in the echelon, you had another color, but you all had the decal. So when they drove up to my store, I knew immediately.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So one of the young ladies walks into the store, and I showed her Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, by the works of the law shall no man be justified. And she said, let me go up to the car and get my Bible. I don't think that's in my Bible.
Yeah.
Turned out it was. I went a little too far with these people, apparently.
Yeah.
I made up a tract just for them. And I went further. When I wasn't at work, I went up to the Salem Mall. They all had stickers, right?
Yep.
I didn't waste even one tract. Every tract that I made for those folks went on their car.
Yes.
And so I went all the way around the Salem Mall, which was still there then. Got rid of a couple hundred of my tract. Welcome to Dayton, Worldwide Church of God. Did you know? No flesh, it was just... Did you know? Up from the Salem Mall on I think it was on Shiloh Springs, was Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And lots and lots of cars in Toys R Us. I mean, they have their meeting in October. So they're getting, that way they don't celebrate Christmas. But lots and lots of cars in Toys R Us. That's when I found out these folks drinking cuss a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of them were sitting in their cars drinking and cussing and throwing beer cans out the window while the kids were in shopping. But I'm passing out more. The next day, in comes the Madison Township Police. When I open the door at 9 o'clock in the morning, the cops show up. People went to their meeting last night and they're complaining about what you did. They say what you did is the same thing as putting a swastika on a synagogue. And I said, no. It's just paper. A swastika is paint. Put it on a car. The synagogue, I mean, it's not the same. He said, if they were to sue you, who's got the deeper pockets? So I had some tracks left, and I went to Harrison Township. Passed them out down on Main Street by the La Quinta. And,
Amen.
Some folks, such as these nice people and the Seventh Day, are much more adamant about the works of the law than would be the typical Methodist or Baptist. But you still got the works of the law. You still got performance involved in so many teachings and preachings anymore that this concept, no flesh gaining justification by the works of the law, is important. Romans chapter 5, I told you when I dropped dead, just read Romans chapter 5 and order pizza and go home. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope and glory of God.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. It's a done deal.
Yes, it is.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy. So, in Galatians chapter 2, then, in verses 15 and 16, where we have the statement that it is not by the works of the law, we have a very significant dispensational change being spoken to.
Yes.
And we need to respect that. It's the same dispensational change that was raised in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. How many times you keep hoping that that some way or another you can communicate something and have it just catch on in people's heads.
Yeah.
The Great Commission was shut down nearly 2,000 years ago, and every church in town is still going by it.
That's the problem.
I keep saying that on the radio broadcast. I keep saying that here, hoping it'll go viral, you know, and everybody will know. And I'll be the next Justin Bieber, right? Wrong. He should shave his head and look like me, though. Justification as a product of God and His righteousness is where we are. We no longer participate in our own justification. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? It's a rhetorical question. No, faith can't save him alone. Got to be works. Lordship salvation will get taught from here. James, you know from chapter 1, verse 1, is not writing to you. He's writing to the 12 tribes of Israel at their scattering in Acts chapter 8 before Paul was saved, before the gospel of the grace of God is known. James 2:24 is the verse with which Martin Luther said he liked to light his fire. You see then how that by works a man is justified. We just read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. You can't make those verses agree with each other. They're spoken truths to two different audiences. My truth is Romans chapter 5, justification by faith. Israel, under the law's truth, is justification with a works orientation toward it. Paul, in Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, declares a difference. And he stands up and says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe, there's faith, are justified, there's justification, from all things from the which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That is Galatians 2:16.
Right.
By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The participation in one's justification is what we need to fight against with the gospel of the grace of God. And be picky. Anything that is a performance on our part negates Christ having done everything necessary for our soul to be saved.
Exactly.
Even confessing with your mouth.
Yes.
So, yes, be picky on that and be careful to present Christ and Him crucified and to leave it at that. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. The verse that lit Martin Luther's own personal fire was that the just shall live by faith. And he knew he wasn't. He was living by sacraments and deeds and everything else. Justified by faith without, Romans 3:28, the deeds of the law. Now, that means then that the systems of religion in place today have been wrong for nearly 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Teaching a performance system, and whether it be Arminianism, enduring to the end, and living a holy life, and the straight gate of John MacArthur and all of that business, whether it be Catholicism with its system of sacramentals and its system of works. Can I find hundreds of verses in the Bible requiring performance to be in right standing with God? Yes. Is it right to behave right? That's true in any dispensation.
Yeah.
But salvation in the dispensation of God's grace is not a product of performance. It's a product of the death, burial, and resurrection. It's a product of propitiation by Christ on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
In this verse, an issue comes. I'm not certain why, but the issue exists, and we need to talk about it for a minute so that you're not blindsided by it. Paul twice says faith of Christ here. And seven times in Paul's 13 books, he says faith of Christ, those three words. Faith of Christ. Now, what's that mean? Faith of Christ. The phrase can mean, to some people, it does mean that Christ has faith in what?
Something higher.
It would have to be something superior. Well, it's the Bible.
It's the Word made flesh.
Is not that the Word, and is not He the Word? It's God. Is not He the fullness of the Godhead? Is now, this is fairly common. It's written into a book that Obed Kirkpatrick wrote down south, and he's real proud of not having gone to school anywhere, and I would suggest something might help you here. But this is a diminution of Christ.
Yes.
If Christ has faith in an entity apart from Himself, then whatever that is going to be superior to Himself.
Yeah.
You say, well, He was the Son of God. What you are there is modalistic. You're making three gods. The three aren't one anymore. You've got one superior, one inferior. See the trouble?
Yes.
So the trouble's out there. It's not in River City, it's in the Grace Movement.
Yes.
Faith of Christ. When you say, for the love of God, is it God's love for you or your love for Him? See the problem with the structure. You have to think it through and come to some sort of conclusion. Is there something so superior to Christ that He would have to have faith in it? If you lack faith in it, is He no longer Christ? See where you get to the liberal mechanical machinations and the troubles that you can box yourself into. Pastor Stamm, in his commentary on Galatians, and I've given you pages 125 to 129, goes on and on and on, defining the faith of Christ, making it Christ's fidelity. It is amazing reading from his book, page 125. I've cut the bottom off page 125, and page have gone to the top of your 126, and you pass out here. It is amazing that so few of God's people understand the simple significance of one of the most precious phrases in the Pauline epistles, the faith of Christ. Would you have spent 2 seconds thinking about it had he not given you 4 pages?
No, no.
Some people, bless their hearts, they make things 10 times harder than they need to be.
Yes.
I don't know if he had a budget on how many pages his book needed to be or what. The apostle uses this phrase no less than 7 times in his letters to the saints, yet to the vast majority of believers today utterly fail to understand, yea, even misunderstand its wonderful meaning. I'm going to give Pastor Stan dead again, ask him, second paragraph there, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say what he's doing with these 4 pages is attempting to undermine this.
Yeah.
This business of Christ having faith in something outside himself. I'm going to suggest to you, and I can't ask him. I'm going to suggest to you that maybe that's the motivation for him writing 4 pages on those 3 words. Because this error is out there.
Yes.
You know, there's another approach you could take. You could write, there is an error in the grace movement which says, oh, he besmirched a saint of God by saying there's an error. Have you read Paul? Are you at all familiar with his approach toward error?
Yes. Straightforward.
Oh, mercy. I've listened to Pastor Stan's preaching. I listened to his radio broadcast. And as long as I could stay awake, I had trouble knowing what he was talking about, because it just kind of floats around the room. We'll see what we read here. As the emphasis in evangelism today is placed on man rather than upon God, that's a Calvinistic statement, so has the truth about faith in Christ been given the precedence over the truth about faith of Christ until it is all but crowded it out. The scriptures speak of faith in 2 ways, objective and subjective. Objectively, faith is simple trust in another. That's why Obed in his book and some of the teachings out there about Christ having faith outside of himself is wrong. Objectively, moves toward the object. It is a character which constitutes one worthy of trust. Objectively, faith is associated with what one does, he believes, in another. Subjectively, it is a quality one possesses. Fidelity, dependability, worthiness to be believed in. Did I ever have any doubt about my Savior's fidelity, worthiness to be believed in? Do those 3 words, can they be used in any sentence? Faith of Christ means fidelity.
No.
Faith of Christ means dependability. It just doesn't go anywhere for me. He spends 4 pages communicating it. The scriptures also speak of the faith as that which is to be believed. 1 Corinthians 16:13. I think he put his finger on it right there. The faith of Christ is that which is to be believed. It is.
Exactly.
Paul says, have you been found in the faith? What faith?
The faith of Christ.
I think it's as simple as that.
Amen.
And rather than going and diminishing the deity of Christ, or making the 3 words mean something which they don't in any language, in any book, I think it's just that paragraph there, he's got it. But he misses it. The adjective faithful, in both English and Greek, is always used in 2 ways.
Well, that's not the issue. No.
I'm not defining faithful.
No.
I've got 3 words. Faith of Christ at issue. So now he's going to give me a Greek lesson and an English lesson about something that doesn't fit the verse.
That's right.
But on the other hand, oh great. I didn't like the first hand all that much, and now we're going to do the other one. On the other hand, God is called faithful, not because he believes in others, but because he is true to his word. Jesus, Pastor Stan, is calling faithful, not because he believes in others, See what I think Pastor Sam is dealing with?
Yeah.
It's being taught that Christ has a belief outside himself. Pastor Sam is saying, not because he believes in others, but because he's faithful. The problem with Pastor Sam's apologetics is it's, I think, dishonest.
Yes.
It's not what those three words are about. I think it's simple, and using Pastor Sam's own example verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, stand fast in the faith. Yeah. Did you ever sing the song, Faith of Our Fathers Burning Bright?
Yeah.
What is the faith of our fathers? Is it what Grandpa Al believed? No, it's the system of doctrine that constituted the faith of our fathers.
Yeah.
What constitutes the faith of Christ? It's the system of doctrine that constitutes the information that Paul is giving.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine your faith, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I think you could add the word of Christ there, and I wouldn't add to the Bible, I wouldn't take from the Bible. I'm not suggesting the Bible is mistaken, but I think the meaning is clear. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, if you continue in the faith. Is there only the faith in the Bible? Is there the faith of Moses?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think faith of Christ works. So I think rather than the error that's being taught down south, largely, about Christ having faith outside himself. And by the way, doesn't that just fold very nicely into Christ trusting the Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because he himself didn't know what was going on, which is the teaching of Pastor Jordan. It's another diminution of the Lord. It's a hard word to say. Diminution of the Lord Jesus Christ, deity.
Yes, definitely it is.
So, here we go. With four pages and a little bit on the fifth page in Pastor Sam's commentary doing an end run around an error.
Yeah.
I'll be glad when we are mature enough as a movement and as individual people to say, what he said is wrong, here's why it's wrong, and not just play patty cake with it and leave us with four pages of utter confusion and balderdash that really doesn't mean much of anything.
Yeah.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. My own son in the faith. Is that the faith of John the Baptist?
No.
1 Timothy 3:13. We see boldness in the faith. Is that the faith of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So, Titus chapter 1, verse 3. The concept of the faith, I'm quite comfortable with what that is. It's the doctrine associated with what's going on according to the revelation of mystery. Don't have a problem with it. All right. The issue's out there. There's the error being taught. There's the Sally Go Round the Roses was a song. Remember just dancing around the rose bush?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor Sam's commentary speaks to that. I think it's simple.
Yeah.
Being a King James Bible believer helps me a lot.
Yes.
I think it's simple. So there is a body of doctrine that is referred to as the faith in some places. It's referred to as the faith of Christ in some places. Got no problem. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We've already dealt with the people on the other side of the cross and how Romans chapter 3 verse 25 speaks. And the book of Hebrews. Paul in Romans 9, 10, and 11 gives tremendous information that nobody among the Hebrew people had in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they didn't get it from Peter and Acts. So, the fact that no flesh shall be justified, no means no. The revelation of the mystery puts in place a new body and a new creature, and we have an understanding of grace through faith. Israel, we got centuries worth of dead people. They, in the Bible, have understanding that the blood of their Messiah was better than the blood of bulls and goats, that God forbore by his forbearance until the blood of Christ is in place, and so then the sins that are past can be expiated with finality.
Amen.
Rather than held in abeyance based on something that was insufficient, the blood of bulls and goats and the law program.
Right.
For us, it's easier to understand. For Israel, think about the guy that died in 2 Kings. What's he know about propitiation? If I don't go to the temple, I'm in trouble.
Yes.
So provision for them is explained through this. No flesh justified. It's their Messiah's blood, the sacrifice. Israel, no, Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith. By faith they did stuff, Hebrews 11. The uncircumcision through faith, by grace through faith. See the dichotomy. Beautiful thing. So Paul is saying some things about justification. He says them in the Acts 15 time frame. He says them nearly 2,000 years ago. And they are things that people don't know to this day. And whole denominations exist standing opposed to what Paul has to say. If, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Paul here is giving an illustration of the error that Peter made going back to the law program and fellowshipping with people of Israel, then being ashamed of it and walking away from them. Paul's statement has to do with the law being that which identifies sin. The law is a schoolmaster. If I'm under the law, then I'm under a schoolmaster. I'm not supposed to be under a schoolmaster anymore. I'm supposed to be graduated.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be complete in Christ. The law's function was to identify sin, and we see that in Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Paul wouldn't know he was a covenanter except the law told him he was. The law identifies us as sinners. The law ministers the death that is a product of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. If then I put myself back in that system, what am I saying about the cross of Christ?
Insufficient.
Insufficient. I'm not trusting it, and it's not MacArthur's word, efficacious. If I build again the things. Now, Paul is using himself as an example, but he's dealing with what Peter did. If I build again the things which I destroyed. Peter, going back with the Jewish people, he is building again the things which he's supposed to know better.
Yeah.
I make myself a transgression, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm thinking, you're looking at what Paul said to Peter's face when he was studying. Now, he talks about I this and I that. He's focusing, he's illustrating it with himself, and a lot of times that's a better thing to do because people are less offended when you use yourself as an illustration. The truth is, all of us need to learn that justification apart from Christ is wrong.
Amen.
We're justified by what he did. We're not justified by the works of the law, by baptism, by good behavior. And Paul is saying to Peter, you gave bad testimony to justification on a product of your Messiah.
Yeah.
So I've given you a little section in your outline today that pretty well stands on its own.
Yes.
You as a believer are dead You're dead to the law. You're crucified with Christ. You're declared dead into Christ's death. Your spirit, which had been dead in trespasses and sins, has been quickened. A truth that I wrestle with in its application is that my soul has been cut free, circumcised from the body of the sins of the flesh. I should then be less flesh-oriented, but that requires my soul deciding to be less flesh-oriented and more spiritually oriented.
Amen.
So that's the struggle. The old man, the new man struggle, as Bollinger called it. I'm placed into the body of Christ. My life is gone. It's hid in Him. My life now is His over mine. So these truths are what this little study here with what happens to the believer leads up to when we get next time to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, which are at the end of the chapter and very marvelous verses. Carol wants on her tombstone to say, "Accepted in the Beloved." And that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rather than us accepting Him, He accepts us on the merits of Christ, not on our merits. And we're sealed into the day of redemption.
Amen.
So it's wonderful to have these understandings. It's wonderful that Paul is laying it out so clearly and leading us up to what the French would call the denouement, the revealing of the plot. The butler did it. Crucified with Christ is the point.
Yes.
Works dies, or you die.
Amen.
If you're crucified with Christ, works die then.
Yes.
Judicially, it's done. I make the point using Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Teachings of tithing are often from these passages to get people to give their 10%. Contained in that is a threat of a curse.
Yes.
I can't be cursed. Christ was made to be a curse for me. Nobody knew that in Malachi chapter 3. I know it now. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, whether I tithe or not.
Yeah.
So, as I now operate complete in Him. Wow. I'm complete in Him. I'm sealed into the day of redemption. I'm a new creature. My old man is dead. My spirit is quickened. I'm alive. My soul, decision maker, is circumcised from the body of the sins of the flesh. When I learn what God has done for me, then I can start operating according to that truth, and that's where success and joy lie.
Amen.
Find out who God has made you in Christ Jesus and act like it. We'll stop there.
Amen. That's so simple.
Amen.
Everybody makes it hard.